The Survivor Specialist, Phil, Blake, and McKenna are back as we continue the road to 50. Tonight, we are talking about the Martyr Approach, what I believe to be the greatest episode in Survivor history. I just watched it live on the big screen, as they say. Watched it alongside everybody else out there who decided to turn on CBS tonight. It just doesn't get any better. St. Cliffo starting it off right here. Hit me with your best shot, Pat Benatar. The greatest line in the history of Survivor. No line has ever been more nonsensical. And yet I think I use that line 100 times a week because I just say that every time somebody annoys me. And if I don't say it out loud, I'm saying it mentally. It is such a stupid quote. I am so excited to talk about this episode. And honestly, I'm excited to talk about just looking at these token genes people all over again. We have St. Cliff with another super chat. I cannot undersell how much I love Coach, but it's
by the way, St. Cliffo reached out to me and he's like, it's actually been Street Cliffo this whole time.
Damn.
I just have been listening so long.
Here's the thing,
you guys,
right?
Haven't.
Are you ready for this? Like, if I did that to you while you were making a point, you would throw a hissy fit for an hour and a half. It would be a never ending complaint.
I can dish it, but boy, can I not take it.
That is true.
Survivor token chains.
I love it. Look, Ryan Chan says, I wish Taj or Aaron made it on 50. Ryan Chan, hell, give me Brendan or Sierra. I mean, like, token chains, just looking at the final nine of this season, I'm sitting there going, I miss that. I miss that so much. And I'm so happy that we're getting to talk about this episode. My favorite. McKenna's going to try to give us some negativity. She's going to get muted a lot tonight. This is going to be like a radio show where the person calls in and says one thing I don't like. And I'm just like, boop.
Here it is. Give me Sandy. That's where I'm at. Give me Sandy.
St. Cliffo says, no, I didn't. We got $2 for him to say, no, I didn't. Thank you, St. Cliffo. let's talk about it. McKenna and I, this is about the fifth time this episode has been covered on the podcast. Alexa and I did it back in the day. We were doing like a bracket of best episodes, defining episode for Coach. We did it this summer. Alexa and I did the Ultimate Survivor season. I think this is what we chose for Final Five. So I'm going to give it to Blake first, McKenna, so that he can say more nonsense. Blake, what's your feeling just watching this one back?
Well, I just finished it 46 seconds before the bell rang. And I think it's one of those where you're like, not only is it a character punch assassination episode, which I think Survivor's at its best whenever it has a clear, like, let's all point and laugh at this tribe. Let's all point and laugh at this person. And most of the time it's because they're being weird or they're like, didn't say something appropriate, or like when you look at all of them, and Coach is the one where it's like, okay, it wasn't because he inappropriately said something to somebody, it's because he's a literal crazy person and we aren't quite sure what he's saying is true. But I think it's so funny that it's like day 30 something and he's like, by the way, I've had asthma this whole time and it's really bad today. Comes back with his stick where he's
which he still has. He put an Instagram video out today. He still has it.
That's amazing.
Falls down on the ground and screams out. And he's like, I still trust you more than anyone, JT. You would never lie to me. And you're just like, it's laid on so unbelievably thick. It's not pancake thick. It's like triple chocolate cake thick layer pizza layer thick. Where you're like, damn. I can't even take a bite of how crunchy you are, brother, because this is crazy.
Which is more iconic? Ah, or ah.
Yeah, Blake, what do you got?
You got to do it or you got to go. Ah. Or ah. It's definitely, I think it's up there.
I love, my thing with this episode is, Survivor up to this point hadn't been specific character driven, right? You'd seen Rupert back in Pearl Islands, but Rupert goes out fairly early on that season. Every season it's kind of even, like it's not really focusing in on one person. This was really the first episode where they said, you know what? We have a character who is willing to be one of the most ridiculous people you will ever see. We have a moment. We have an opportunity. The eagle screeching. The shots of the sun to him with the cane. He's doing Kochi with the stick, and they're playing different sound effects over the top of him grunting. they just lean into all of it. And my favorite part about this episode is it all ends with him reading a poem that he has remembered for everybody. And Sierra and Brendan can't look. Tyson at least isn't laughing in his face, but he's looking down. Debbie has her hands, her face in her hands. And then you got Aaron and Taj, who all episode have been trying not to laugh. And they're just dying. Like, they can't handle it anymore. It's the best character episode the show has ever done. I know people talk about Drew Christie and all that, but this really kind of changed the way Survivor started to be. You think about the next season, it's the Russell show. Season 20 is the Russell show. Season 21, Nayanka is so heavily featured in that season. Season 22, it's the Rob show. 23, it's the Coach show. 24, Troyzan and Kim. 25, Denise, Malcolm, and Penner. Like, it started to edit the show so much differently. And I really do think a lot of it had to do with Coach and the positive / negative reaction they got for this episode. Not everybody loves this episode. Survivor loves that. That's why they're airing this. It's why they keep bringing Coach back, because he's the person that you either root for because you love him and he's ridiculous, or you root against him because you simply cannot stand a single thing about it.
Is it the best episode of all time? No, I don't think so. But it is a good and solid episode because you get the character of Coach, but then you also get really good strategic gameplay by JT and Steven. The way that they are lined up to sit at the final two is insane. Coach is going to take them to the final three. Aaron's going to take them to the final three. Taj is taking them to the final three. And then Token Cheesens is a final two. And so they can just take each other to the final two and they're set for their shot at $1 million. Like, they are set from this vote. It doesn't matter who goes home because the other two are still closer to them than they are to the others. So it just shows a lot of dynamic gameplay, whether that be character driven, the backstabbing, the snide comments from Aaron, and then also really strategic gameplay through JT and Steven.
Yeah, and I think, like, Aaron, I always say, is one of the most underrated players, characters in Survivor history. She gets no credit. She never gets talked about. She gets overshadowed by a lot of big personalities on this season. And Taj is another one who gets pretty overlooked, but people always bring up Taj as, mm-hmm. We wish she would have played again. Aaron really does get overshadowed there. And, like, this episode, what does Aaron have? 2-3 confessionals? Doesn't matter. She's the one who says the martyr approach. She's the one who gives Coach shit over and over again. There's so much depth to Aaron's character, and there's so much fun that comes from Aaron just from the eye rolls, from her with the glasses half falling off her face because she's lost so much weight, and she can't look at Coach, and she's just got that little grin on her face that you know Coach cannot stand, because he mentions it in episode 3 or 2, whatever it is, when Jerry goes home and she looked up, and I'm not kidding, it was just like this, and he does the smile, and her just constantly having to hold that back. Like, there's so much great stuff going on in this episode around Coach, and that's what you need, right? You need, if you're going to have a protagonist, if you're going to have a main character, the supporting cast has to be good too. And the supporting cast, the way JT and Steven play him like a fiddle, when they're talking about, I think Coach is just scared to go to Exile Island.
The honorable thing, Coach, because Coach says the honorable thing is either myself or JT go, but I want to be cold and send one of the girls.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that I obviously, you can't remember every single thing that happens in this episode, but where he's like, sometimes when guys do something, it's a pebble, but women see a boulder. And I was like,
Omer's a hero, always says he doesn't really like Token Cheesens because he finds it to be misogynistic. Look, man, like, yeah, it's there, okay? Like, I'm not going to lie, it's there. I just, you know what? Reality TV is supposed to be people that appall you. You're entertained, whatever. Like, it's supposed to be that. And, like, you can't tell. There's not a single final nine in the new era that even holds a candle to the final nine of the season. Watching Brendan, Tyson, Sierra, Debbie, just seeing them on the jury, you go, how the hell are they still not casting like this? Like, how is this not what the show is all the time? And your supporting cast of Aaron and Sierra and Taj are as good as they are. Yeah, this is a male heavy season, But Aaron almost wins the thing. Taj almost wins the thing. Sierra's storyline is so much fun throughout. When Debbie and Coach are just yelling at her and gaslighting the shit out of her. Like, there's so much enjoyment that I get from watching the season. And so much of it comes down to the cast. And I just think the cast, whether you love them all or you hate them all, I mean, Token Cheens is a top five original cast. It just is.
And while watching this episode, I watched it with a different lens because I feel like we're always watching this episode for Coach. And so you want to watch it and focus on Coach. But this, I took it as what it is, the celebration of Survivor, the road to 50, and just like watched it, focused on some other players. And just like the moments that Aaron and Taj have together, I feel go unnoticed when you focus on Coach and his exile and all that. So it was really nice and refreshing to watch this episode that way and not solely focus on Coach.
Well, and let's talk about this a little bit. So obviously we know that tomorrow night it's going to be Slay Everyone, Trust No One, which if you're here for this series, we'll be doing that podcast after we finish Hot Takes. We're doing our Hot Takes draft at 9, and then we'll be doing the podcast for this after, probably around 10:30, 10:45 Eastern time. So don't worry, it'll all be there. But let's talk about that. They're doing Slay Everyone, Trust No One. That is an episode that is Coach heavy. You get Sari, you get Colby, Stephanie dislocates her shoulder. Like, there's so much going on there. They didn't need to put this episode in as well. What do you think the importance of them putting this episode in is? And Blake, I'll go to you. Like, why do you think it was important for them to highlight Coach essentially three times?
I think this is in-game Coach. So we see this a couple times, but I think this is the best character episode of all time, too. So like, maybe we haven't had a lot of character moments in the new era where it's just like, shut up and let it breathe because this person's going to do something crazy. It's like our version of that now is Sifu. Our version of that now is like, Emily Flippin is worried about what she's going to do right now. And you're like, okay, there's a couple of those. Q, we watched Q do whatever the hell he wanted, and we gave him breath. So I think this is and we're going to see that episode, Hide and Seek. So I think this is probably paired up with Hide and Seek of, look at what Survivor has done over the years, could be over the years. Here's just an episode to enjoy where it's not heavy strategy only. It's not who has the idol. That's all that matters right now. It's not anything. It is just, look how wackadoo this man is. How much wackadoo more could he get? When you think there's no way he could get more wackadoo, he's staring in the sun and meditating and becomes wackadoo incarnate. And you're just like, it's so funny too, of like, he's about to go and say, like, I think he says the Medellin approach, or what approach does he try
to
say?
Monastic
approach. I'm going to read that for the first time in a while in a second on Wikipedia. But monastic approach, dot, dot, dot. Like, as he's about to explain the monastic approach, it's so badass that Aaron goes, you mean the martyr approach or whatever. Like, I think that is a takedown of our character, a takedown of somebody that's a pillar. Like, Coach in a different world has its Coach versus Sandra's face. Mm-hmm. On season 39 or whatever.
Yeah, Ryan Chan, Dragon Slade. She pretty much says that 6 different times this episode. She only says it officially once, but she says it so many times with the other things she is saying to him. And I do love that when she says, like Blake, you said, it's so badass when she says, no, he's going to take the martyr approach. And then afterwards, I can't believe she did that. That's so messed up. Why would she have Steven and JT trying to hype up like it's this big deal? Coach is such a clown this entire episode. Like, I love Coach. Okay. I'm a huge Coach fan. I'm so happy that Coach is coming on the show again. But here's the thing. You act like a clown, you get called out like a clown. Okay. When she's saying this stuff, it is so earned. And then the best is the other great Aaron line in this one is he didn't want medical to come in and look at him.
That was my favorite moment.
Wrong. There's nothing wrong.
That was my favorite moment, is just her and Taj talking on the raft or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, he's an idiot. He doesn't want to see medical because there's nothing wrong. I just, It was so, so beautiful, especially after Aaron was also saying, you know, I probably shouldn't have done it like that. I should apologize. That was a my bad. But also, he's not ill.
Well, and Taj is married to Eddie George, who's a Heisman Trophy winning running back, who's, you know, semifinalist or whatever for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. She's watching this man lay on the ground and say, my back was spasming for the last 10 minutes up there. And she's like, all right, coach, get up. Get up, coach. She goes over, she gives his back a little rub and is like, all right, get up. And there he goes, limping over to the bench, doing all that. And Taj is even, these guys are ridiculous. Like, mm-hmm. And when he starts talking about, if they looked at my back, they would have to remove me from the game. And she cannot hold it together. And I just think it is so fun because they've lived with coach this whole time. And coach is going all in this episode, right? And it makes for phenomenal TV. Mm-hmm. But all these people who lived with him know that he is so over the top and so melodramatic that it's so ridiculous how he is acting. And I love that you have Steven and JT. So first of all, you get Steven running over going, oh my God, coach, are you okay? Like, yeah, he's fine, Steven. It's gonna, even Jeff's not running over. Jeff's like medical, just stay over there. He's fine. And then you got JT, who the whole time is just stone-faced. All of their reactions around this entire thing are just so telling, and they're so different. It's just, it's so much fun to watch. And JT doesn't get enough credit for what he put up with on this season.
Yeah. I mean, coach is just, again, ridiculous. And him staying up for almost an hour on Chimney Sweep and then dropping after a 10-minute back spasm, that's insane. That's like, insane. You're up there for an hour, spasm, and you don't drop as soon as you get a twinge. Like, I would be down if
you just never wanted something, McKenna.
Yeah.
I mean,
never wanted something so bad that you can rewrite your brain's transfusions mid push, you know?
I don't know, man.
You'll never be able
to control my body like that with a back spasm.
And by the way, our final two alliance is eating the craziest steak buffet of
all my God,
time, right in the middle. And they're like, nobody's going to ever beat us. I'm actually so full. I can't eat any more grilled pineapple. And you're just like, what is going on? Like, how are these three people not getting together and being like, whoever doesn't win immunity, we have to vote off.
Well, because Taj thought she had a shot. Erin knew it was her only shot. And coach is not somebody you can work with. I think that's also what's so fascinating about JT's game is coach was the last one from that original Timbira alliance that gets decimated here that he keeps around because coach has no agency with anybody else in the game. Coach can't go against JT and Steven because Taj and Erin would never do it. So that's a perfect person to keep around. And that's why you're seeing in a lot of the pregame press for 50, everybody says they want to work with coach. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to work with coach, and Will had said that before the season back in the summer. He was like, of course, I think coach could win the season because people are going to want to take him to the end. It just comes down to can he play the game. Now we're going to be doing our fantasy draft immediately after this. So if you're listening on Spotify, mm-hmm. Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, if you're watching, make sure you tune in or make sure you check out that episode after, because we're doing our Survivor 50 fantasy draft. But like coach has so much upside because he is the type of person you can just drag along. Sophie beat him. Most people don't really respect Sophie's game. Sophie beat him. He comes out here.
We're going to watch that.
Yeah, we're going to watch that in 2 days. He has no game aside from playing with Steven and JT. He has no choice. So I don't know. Like, coach is so easy to manipulate. And then the other women have no shot. So when you're sitting there, you're saying, well, they're just eating this buffet. How are they able to do this? Because Taj and Erin are never going to put up with coach. Mm-hmm. This is the one time where JT can say, sure, Steven, let's go. Because Taj and Erin can't do anything to hurt us. They don't want to.
Yeah. And then they bring the camera in the shower with JT, and he's just like, I've never felt soap like this. It's so great.
Yeah, that is a weird moment when they're like, we're going to get in the shower with you. It's like, hey, man, like, don't do that.
I also felt like this reward challenge was so huge for a reward challenge. It felt like out of place to me. I don't know. I was
actually
watching
production just cared back then. Don't
I was like, I was literally going to say, Blake, I've pulled the string. Go ahead. And I didn't even have to say I pulled the string. The string was just pulled.
So this is about the effort they used to put in. And that's
But it's still like for a reward challenge. It still felt like one of those big mazes that they use for an immunity challenge. But they were like, nah, it's a reward.
And like as a character moment, coach is playing it the most scumbaggy of the five in that reward of everyone else is like, I'll go a different way so I don't just copy JT. JT never misses because apparently he can see further or something. And coach is like, I'm just going to stay behind him the whole time. Even though Jeff is like, there's no honor and you got to go a wrong path. So you're honorably playing. It's like, what? Everybody was that was such a wackadoo one of Jeff's honor. Those other people being like, that makes sense to me. I'm going to screw this up on purpose.
That's a dead end. I'm going to go there.
Yeah. When Steven comes around the corner and he's following Taj and or maybe it's Taj, one or the other, whatever it is, and they just run directly into a post like, oh, I'm an idiot, and then turn and go the other. It's like, what are you all doing? Like, why did you all not just – it should have literally been everybody hands on shoulders, line, let's go. Yeah. This is what we're going to do, and that's why we don't really see challenges like this anymore.
Well, you just got to blindfold them, and then it's
that's
fine.
Pretty much what happens now, right? Or you get the Kagi on one where it's so massive, and they go in different directions. It's not just a straight line. I mean, this one's just a straight line.
It spells Survivor.
Yes.
Very good, Blake. Very good. I know. It's a shame they didn't make the end of it look like an exclamation point or something. You know, that's where they cheaped out. Blake was probably commenting that on his sucks board. Survivor's cheaping out. It wasn't an exclamation point. It was just a regular standing thing. I don't know. I'm sure Blake found something to complain about. That's Blake. So
did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right. Those are for sleepy time. You know, when you just can't fall asleep, take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Again, let's talk about this, though. Yeah. Coach, three episodes. So, Blake, you mentioned what you think. You think it's because, you know, they wanted to show off the character. We're going to get hide and seek with Q. Granted, there's a lot of other people in there. So when you look at the cast for 50, who doesn't get an episode here? Jenna Lewis doesn't get an episode.
No.
Jonathan Young doesn't get an episode.
What?
Like, I guess there's really not many people who are missing because Chrissy gets one. Obviously, everybody from 46 gets one.
Aubrey.
Dee and Emily both get one. Who'd you say?
Aubrey.
Aubrey's in Edge of Extinction, technically. But okay, so that's a fair point, though. Why not go an episode from Korong that shows off? I mean, Aubrey plays such a great strategic game there. Yeah, the Debbie boot. Why not the Debbie boot instead of this? And I'm never going to complain about this being on. I'm just saying, like, we get this. We get the finale of South Pacific. He's such a big part of Slay Everyone, Trust No One.
Why didn't they start this a month ago and give everybody an individual episode?
Because 10 is just such a nice number.
I think also the Heroes vs. Villains could be the arc of Colby, too, of like they're showing him being bad at this challenge and kind of sucking. It's not with the Superman, the fat suit, all that, but it could show that Colby's now back out and ripped and ready to go.
It could also be, and we'll talk about this tomorrow night, but it could also be that they just wanted to show what a real All-Stars cast looks like. I mean, I don't know. That's just me. I mean, maybe that's what they were going for instead. Sorry, 50 cast. I guess we got to be bitter at some point. But I mean, after watching this and then Jeff just being like, all right, and remember, guys, coach again tomorrow. And then he's going to be like, hey, guys, and coach again on Thursday. Maybe coach is going to have a really good run on 50. Maybe that's what it means. Or maybe they're just milking everything they can out of coach being biggest character. I mean, you know, he is, they are focusing, even the episodes that do feature other players that are on the show, they're focusing heavily on the big characters. Like they're focusing on Devins, they're focusing on coach, they're focusing on Q. So I don't know. It makes sense to me.
Parvati in two seasons.
Yeah. I mean, just to prove why she doesn't belong on 50, I need another novel. If anybody could get another novel in the comments, please just keep them coming. Just keep them coming.
sometimes when Parvati does stuff, it's a pebble, but people see a boulder.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I make a comment at the pebble. That's the thing.
I see a diamond.
God.
I think we said it a little bit earlier, so let's finish saying it. Is this the best character episode of all time? And I don't think it's because it's so late in the season. I think character episodes are normally, we're going to, like Jacob Derwin, somebody we're going to spend an hour to just mess with him. Rome was like, there's still 11 other people, but coach, there's only 4 other people. So we can go one by one and be like, I almost feel like Eric is kind of like this yesterday too. Now that I think about it, of like, look how naive Eric is in everything he does this episode. How can he be so naive? Kind of interesting. 2 final 5 episodes in a row. Probably the 2 best final 5 episodes ever. If we're just going to generalize and say a bunch of shit real quick. But like, I think it is like, oh, maybe we haven't had one of these in a while. If when Mitch went in 48 at final 5, we didn't go punch, 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 punch. Who won at 49 fifth?
The other big problem, though, Blake, is a lot of times now it's happening in the finale. This is when
Christina,
used to not be finale.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's another big problem. Because I think pretty much since season 20 or season 19, every single
final
time.
Sixes is in the finale, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's what ends up hurting it more than anything is like if you want to highlight these players. You know, you can't, I mean, they probably just want to highlight Ozzy getting back in from South Pacific, but now you have to run the entire episode from Redemption Island there. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I always say it's my favorite episode. So is it the best character episode? Yeah. I mean, because it's my favorite episode, but I think, here's another question I'll ask. Let's look at this as a positive. Jeff had an interview with Dalton Ross that came out earlier today, where Dalton asked him, when do you think you'll do the next returning player season? And Jeff, in his typical Jeff
fashion, said, I haven't thought about what I'm eating lunch for tomorrow.
How essentially. Yeah, exactly. Blake probably didn't even read the article, but Blake knows. Okay. So Jeff doesn't know when it's coming. Do you think that there's a possibility that the reaction to some of these episodes, the reaction to some of these players in these episodes could lead to them considering, especially in these older school episodes that they're showing, considering some of these players that people have been clamoring for a long time, because now you have seen them back on your screens. You know, you're talking Final Five in Natalie Bolton is highlighted very much in Fans versus Favorites, Taj and Aaron in this one. Obviously we've seen Steven and JT. But you know, I'd watch Steven and JT play again too. Like they haven't played in a long time. Then you're going to get into Heroes versus Villains. There's a lot of people in that one. You're going to get into South Pacific. There's nobody there. You're going to get into,
Edna Ma's in there.
Edna's not in that episode though. Then you're going to get, you know, you're going to get into some Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Like, do you think that there's any consideration in who they're showing? You think they are specifically looking at, no, we are highlighting these very specific people and don't look into this at all. We're still going to pretend we don't know who Natalie Bolton is when it comes to casting all stars for 54.
Go McKenna first, because I'll do
one can only plan. Hope that they like take their own advice, take fans' advice, that they are looking toward these other players, or even those players that got snubbed from 50 that they were considering. Like, we still want to see those players back. So if they didn't work for 50, well, hopefully Game Changers 2 is rolling around and they come back for that, or a Blood versus Water or something where it's like, we can get these people that you clearly wanted on before and the fans wanted on as well on another season.
Yeah. All right, Blake, you want me to throw this up? Zach, I mean, the reaction Jeff got when he announced the live finale, and now he's like, it's not necessary for the show. So I don't think they care.
So I don't know if this is the right forum for this, but that's why you watch all these, because you get all the content, because we can't do a thing about every little thing. I think if you're hoping T-Bird still gets on, stop. I think if you're thinking, oh, Sean Rector, probably he's one more way. John Carroll, Nalia was in the thing. Stop. Anybody from before 41 is never coming back if they didn't get on 50. If you were excited about somebody from this mid era, they're never coming back if they're not new era. The next All-Stars is going to be all new era and your favorite from 51 through 54. I don't think they're going to go, now's the perfect time to have some random middling person that didn't get on. Sydney Gillen, oh my God, she's never going to be on the Survivor again. I think I'm almost saying this so someone proves me wrong and has an egg in my face, because that's a better version of this.
Right down the timestamp, McKenna.
41, 41 and on is what's going to be for the All-Stars from now on, because it's new era. We've moved on. We're going to do new era soon. N-U-N-E-W-E-R-A. So that's going to be your type of thing. And I don't think, oh, Natalie Bolton didn't get on this All-Stars that happened right after her. Four seasons later, she didn't get on this one that was five seasons after the four seasons. She didn't get on this one and this one. She didn't get on 50, but the next one is the one Natalie Bolton's going to get on. Is like, I don't think you're going to have that.
Fenderman.
I hope Blake is wrong here too.
Well, here's my thing about this. Kenny Kappenberg and Jeff Varner, Kelly Wigglesworth, Jervis. Jervis played 26 seasons after his first. Nobody's clamoring for Jervis. People wanted Kelly Wigglesworth back for season 31, right? Like, yeah. Everybody said she's the one member of the Toggy Four never played again. And when she says yes, she's an easy person to get on second chance. Jeff Varner and Kimmy Kappenberg also got on. Andrew Savage got on. Okay, Andrew Savage hadn't played since season 7, doesn't make the jury of that season, and he gets on. So to me, I feel like the one thing that Survivor has been consistent with throughout the entire history of the show is nobody ever doesn't have a chance. Because I just watched the pre-merge of Sam Wandel Sur. Kelly Wentworth is non-existent. She got voted out. My wife goes, wait, really? And I was like, don't worry. Her second chance run is one of the all-time great story arcs in the history of the show. They brought back Haley Ford, who everybody laughed at me when I said Jen and Haley were a top 50 alliance. While Blake made up alliances and was just like, you know, oh, well, that guy would sand, like, whatever. They are willing to bring back the people that make the most sense for the show. And I think the amount of excitement from somebody like Nalia, who Blake brought up, or Danielle DiLorenzo as somebody who was in the mix until late. These people are at different points in their life, so you're not necessarily getting the same person. Unlike Dunkin' Donuts Super Bowl commercials, this isn't AI created. This isn't just, oh, wow, I can take the young version, and isn't this so silly and goofy? If you ever buy Dunkin' Donuts again, I hate you. Don't listen to us. Go away. But that's the thing here is, like, these people are at different points in their lives. You're getting a different version of Jenna Lewis. I think so much of this is dependent on how the old schoolers do on this season.
Well, they also set them up weird on the tribe breakouts, though.
They did, but what I'm saying is, think about it. Jeff Varner played 31 and then came back for Game Changers because that's how good of a run he had in 31. Kimmy Kappenberg goes far, but she doesn't eat up enough screen time. Kelly Wigglesworth doesn't eat up enough screen time. But they're showing that if you deliver, they'll bring you back. So if, let's say, Jenna Lewis does deliver. Let's say Stephanie LaGrossa delivers in a big way, in a different way than what we've seen. If you're willing to bring those people back now, why wouldn't you bring back some of these others? Blake has his hand up.
I think what will happen as well is, like, the door is shutting because Adam Klein was so good on Winners at War. Some other people were so good at Winners at War, but they weren't coming back for 50. So now when it's All-Stars again, it's like, well, these people did really well on 40, but never got a chance again. I'd love to see that winner come back. And then there's going to be some people that get eighth place through fourth place here on 50, the best, most monumental season ever. And it's going to be like, damn, I kind of want to see Rizzo play a third time now that he's 30, the 30th God, Rizzo God. Like, that's going to happen where it's going to be like, would you rather see Rizzo play a third time? Or would you rather see, well, T-Bird is now 72. We've never had a 70-year-old woman be on Survivor. It's T-Bird's time, finally. It's like, just stop talking about T-Bird. And I hate that because I love T-Bird, but it would have happened already.
Yeah.
And it's not. I think it sucks thinking of that from a casting production mindset, but, like, it's not happening for some of these old schoolers.
But just think about it again. You missed All-Stars. You missed Heroes versus Villains. You missed Fans versus Favorites. You missed Fans versus Favorites too. You missed being a captain on 22, 23, 25. Blood versus
Water.
You missed Blood versus Water. There you are for second chance. Jenna Lewis is back. Like, I don't know. I'm not counting it out. You also have to remember too, a lot of these new era people, there's a lot of new era stars who have no interest in going back to play Survivor. A lot of them kind of went out there. They got the attention. They got the fame. They don't like the negativity of it all. They don't want to go back and play Survivor. They're trying to get on the Traders or something a little bit more comfy. And then you have a lot of these old schoolers and now are getting really old. I mean, you know, Minnesota Fat says Rupert will come back on Survivor. I'd bet the farm. Like, I think Rupert's too old. I think he's probably got something else that's holding him out. So your pool gets bigger, but at the same time, like, your pool also gets smaller. Like, Tina Wesson's not going to play again. Richard Hatch isn't going to play again. But, like, who's to say that you can't get Todd Herzog or Earl?
Those people are younger than T-Bird. I get what you're saying, though. God, there was some other thing, too, where I was like, it's just, I hate shutting the door, but I think we got to be realistic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we were so excited about Snubs and why we wanted to live in that. But as these episodes air, and I think even if this season is a disaster, I think even if the season is amazing, it will be like, it's so cool to see some of these people back. We're not going to be like, I wish there was some other people. We're going to be enjoying the 82 minutes we get with favorite character number 3, and favorite character number 4 is going to have 4 episodes. And then it is kind of like, oh, they're going to edit Camilla and Kyle really well, where you're going to be like, even the people I was like, I don't want them back, they're going to be like, well, that was a very interesting episode. And then if you do hate them, here's their torch getting snuffed. You do get that satisfaction.
Yeah.
And like, okay.
Yeah.
I also don't mind it being an older skewed cast too. Like, if they still pulled from older seasons and things like that, if everyone is like either of the range or we have on all sides and all in the middle, like, I think keeping these older school people around in a newer era season could still work out. I mean, 50 is one of the older skewed casts that we have, and I'm excited for it. So I think even if I don't want to shut the door, like you were saying, but I still think there is a chance. Like, the door might be shut, but the window is unlocked.
Well, and yeah, and I think that's a good point. And I think also, like, if you think about what other shows are having the most success right now, The Traitors is having the most unbelievable success out of all of these shows. Well, what is The Traitors doing? Everybody on that show is 35 or older. Like, mm-hmm. because it's skewing older. Skewing older is not so bad anymore because now you actually already have these reality stars created. Some of them aren't stars, but the diehards are going to know it. Mm-hmm. And that at the end of the day is like who you're making these seasons and these shows for. So
yeah,
we have a couple sneaks, but it is, I think it will be, you're going to want Jam back over Todd, and you're like, well, do we really? And it's like, well, the majority of the fan base knows Jam better now.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I really want Courtney back. And it's like, do you want Courtney or Carolyn? And it's like, I want both, but I think they'll be in the same bucket. And it'll be like, well, Carolyn has more, went on, let's bring Carolyn back. And you're like, fuck.
I really do think that there is a chance after you get a little bit in the 50s that you will see this finally old school, middle school, new school. I really do. I do think that there's a chance for this. And I think that could be pulling from some of these weirder choices. Like, you're going to have your star, somebody who succeeds here on season 50. But I think, like, your coach might be there. But I do think that there's a chance for some of these others. We got to go do a fantasy draft. So we've talked about the martyr approach so many times. Like I said, if you want to go check it out, John McKenna and I did it as a defining episode. Alexa and I, years ago, we did it as the ultimate survivor season. I think for a Patreon, we ranked it as the top survivor episode. We've talked about this episode so many times, it's crazy. So, McKenna, get your last thoughts in here before you have to go make an Instagram story in less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. Coach stands are weird. I don't know. I had to slip something in there since you keep riffing on me. But, yeah, it's a decent episode of Survivor.
You know what the difference between coach stands and Parvati stands are? Coach stands are okay with being weird. Like, they're okay with people making fun of Coach. They're okay with people saying,
I've been taking your crap all week.
I'm just saying.
Been saying crap about what you've been giving me. So.
I'm trying to do my best. All right. Today, Will and I also did Riz God, Everything You Need to Know About Riz God. So we ended the Everything You Need to Know About series. So go check out Everything You Need to Know About Riz God. Blake, Will, and I are about to go do the fantasy draft. Again, if you are listening to this on one of the podcast platforms, make sure you check out our fantasy draft. It'll be posted at some point tomorrow morning or this morning, whatever the hell is going on here. But everybody who's listening here, like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you with the draft. And then tomorrow night, hot takes at 9 p.m.
That's too much. Pick one, guys. Just
slay everyone. Trust no one. Will be happening after hot take. So I'm just giving everybody an update. Look, pretty much if you're listening on a podcast platform, you're getting us for like drive to work, drive home from work. You're going to be a day behind all week, but that's okay. And if you're watching us on YouTube, just, you know, keep the channel on
YouTube.
Yeah, just keep the channel on. So like this, subscribe to the channel. Don't worry about Blake being embarrassed by me listing off too many episodes, and I'll see you in 1 minute.